Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 14 through 16. Verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to try to bring you a message on the tenderness of Jesus. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and He is Jesus, the Son of God. And he tells us because of this to come boldly to the throne of grace. Here we see the tenderness of Jesus as he is in the heavens as our great high priest. We have seen and read of his tenderness in the Gospels toward men, toward all of us while he was here on this earth. The Bible says in Acts 10 verse 38 that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We could refer to all of his miracles of kindness and of mercy and his words of grace. Every miracle that he performed was showing mercy and tenderness and kindness and love. And we would just give you a few of them. Remember the man with the withered hand? And he restored that withered hand whole as the other. And by the way, when Jesus performed a miracle, it was a miracle. He was restoring a hand that was withered just like the other one. No difference. The other one that was whole. We had a missionary that went to seminary with me years ago. And he was a missionary to Mexico. His name was Ashcraft. And his son is still there. In fact, I think they visited, the younger Ashcraft visited our church a year or so ago from Mexico. and we renewed that acquaintance. His dad has passed on now, the one I'm talking about. Had a withered hand. And I mean it was from his elbow all the way down. It was just nothing but just drawn and very fragile. Nothing really much there. But when Jesus performs a miracle, it's a miracle of mercy and kindness and tenderness, and it's a miracle of God's power as well. Then the woman who touched Jesus, the hem of his garment, we can think of that. The man at the pool, remember the man at the pool? Bethsaida? And he said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? He said, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool when the water is troubled. And Jesus healed this man at the pool. And then, of course, we know that Mary and Martha were saddened about the loss of Lazarus, and they were weeping, and Jesus said to them, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That is a resurrection life for all of us in the future. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot in grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And he was set free. He'd been dead 4 days already. When we think of the tenderness of Christ, his words concerning little children, he said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. When we think of the woman of Samaria, and he gave her living water, said Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She said, sir, give me of this water. And he gave her that living water after he revealed her sinful life. Said, go call your husband. She had had five husbands, and he said, the one that you have now is not your husband. And he said that only to reveal her need. And then when she received this living water, she went away into the city and says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So she went away, and by her testimony many people were saved. Many of the men of the city believed on her, on him, as a result of her message. His words that we find in the gospel says, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His compassion on the multitudes when he saw them hungry, and he fed them with a miraculous feeding of the 5,000, and then the 4,000 at another time. When we think of his first sermon in Acts, no, not Acts, but Luke chapter 4, he said in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now listen carefully. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, there's some of those verses, some of those statements that I think probably fit home to individual hearts and lives. But that one I found real dear to myself of late, where it said to heal the brokenhearted. Sometimes you have a broken heart. And all of you, most all of you know, except the visitors, that I lost my wife in December before Christmas of this last year. And it's a hard thing to get over. And I want you all to pray that that scripture will be fulfilled, that he will heal the brokenhearted. And I confess that I'm one of those. We find that the scriptures reveal himself in his last words on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the middle of those seven words from the cross. He was bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, as Peter tells us. All of these things reveal his love and his kindness and his compassion and his tenderness while he was upon this earth. And he is no less loving now and tender than he in heaven than he was when he was here, the same one. Let's see him in heaven in his office as our great high priest. It says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us now analyze this text. As we analyze it, we'll take each and every word. If you hold your place in Hebrews chapter 4, we'll notice word for word and kind of look at different parts of this great high priest that we have. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. As we analyze this passage of Scripture, we do have a high priest. All that Israel had under the law, we still have. But we have the substance where they only had the shadow of what we have. They had an altar, a sacrifice, they had a mercy seat. But Jesus is that altar. The Bible says we have an altar that they that serve the tabernacle have no right to eat of. And He is the sacrifice. He gave Himself a sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says He's our mercy seat. And not only is there a high priest, but the Bible says here we have a great high priest. Look at that. We have a great high priest. But notice the words, but we have. Not only is Jesus there as a high priest, but it would be very little to know that such a blessing as a high priest was there if we could not personally possess such a blessing ourselves. But when it says we have, that means that He is as much as a possession to us. We possess Him as such. And He is still touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And He's a great high priest. The high priest of old could go in behind the veil with the blood of the brazen altar of sacrifice from out. We just taught the tabernacle not long back, and you know what I'm talking about. And He could go in with that blood of that brazen altar sacrifice out in front of the tabernacle and bring it in and lift up the curtain, the veil, and go behind into the Holy of Holies and anoint the mercy seat with that blood and make atonement for the children of Israel. And He did that once a year as a high priest. But we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens with His own blood and offered it on that altar of sacrifice for our sins to make eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9 verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once, not once every year, but once into that holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's Hebrews 9 verse 12. And the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus, I want you to notice again the two things you find here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, it says Jesus, then it says the Son of God. That shows us two things. Jesus, that shows us His manhood. That's a human name. That's a name, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. But He is Jesus, the Son of God. That speaks of His deity. In fact, Paul mentioned both of those aspects of Christ, the humanity and the deity of Christ, in Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Listen carefully. It says, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, concerning His Son, that was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. It says He's made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And in verse 4 it says, and He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So we see that He's completely and totally man. But He's also God manifest in the flesh. That's why He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's Jesus, but He's the Son of God and He can do something about it. He is the one who can be touched. No wonder He is our great high priest. No wonder we see in Him the compassion of men and yet the ability of God to do something about it and to help us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has assumed a very tender office. A high priest is ordained for men and was taken from among men. Let me read in chapter 5, if you still have Hebrews, just glance on down. It says, for every high priest taken from among men, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Now look, he's taken from among men for this purpose, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant. Look at that. And on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. See, the priest was taken from among men because he was a man, and he understood. Well, Jesus also, it says, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. So he had to, the high priest had to offer for his own sins, but Jesus didn't do that. He didn't have any sins of his own. He didn't have any sins to offer for. But he took upon himself the form of a man in order that he could understand our need. And therefore we know that he was ordained for men to do this work. So he is not only a high priest, but our great high priest, and he's Jesus, the Son of God. The high priest of God should commune with men. That requires a person of great tenderness. If you talk to another man, you say, I understand what you're going through. You have to be, as Paul says, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. When someone's happy, you rejoice with them. You say, I'm so happy for you. But when someone's weeping, do you weep with them? And that shows tenderness, doesn't it? And he needs to commune with men and show this requires a person of great tenderness. Jesus has revealed the Father to us. The Holy Spirit makes these things of God known unto us. The high priest must communicate with God from men. That is, Jesus takes our thoughts and our prayers and communes with God for us. For every seeking sinner, he communes to God for that one that's repenting of sin. And also for every broken heart, for every disturbed soul, for every mother that's touched with infirmities and troubled as one who needs help. He is the great high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The high priest had to deal with sin and judgment for the people in the Old Testament. There was a judgment the book of Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28, let me read where it says, thou shalt put on the breastplate of judgment. And on this breastplate there were the names of the children of Israel. But also on the shoulders of this priestly garment, there were two onyx stones with six names on either side. So you had the Old Testament showing us the office of the high priest. He bore the judgment of the people upon his shoulders, and he bore the cares of the people upon his shoulders. Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Let me give you two verses of Scripture. In Exodus 28, it says in verse 12, thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names, there are six on either side, before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And then down in verse 29, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. And you read earlier that all these stones that were set upon the heart, on the breastplate, were stones of signet, and the engravings of all the names of the children of Israel. So, symbolically, you have all the people of Israel, of old, all the family, upon the shoulders and upon the heart of the high priest. And that's where Jesus has us, because he's our great high priest. We're upon his heart forever and continually. He's there to hear our confessions and pleadings for pardon. We have a high priest who hears all of our asking for forgiveness, and he does so with great understanding. All the children of Israel were carried symbolically upon the hearts of that priest, but all and upon the shoulders of that priest, and so all of God's people today, every child of God, is carried upon Jesus' heart and upon His shoulder. Upon His heart for love, and upon His shoulders for the strength of His people. The high priest was approached that he might console the sorrowful. That's why they approached him. What a great relief to go to someone that cares. To sit at the feet of a man of God and let him hear your sorrows of your heart. But we have a great high priest and we come directly to him. We don't have to have a preacher or someone here in the human form now because Jesus has filled that office. And so when you have a problem, where do you take it? The Bible teaches, take your burden to the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And the high priest was approached to share the sorrows, all the sorrows. Jesus is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, so He well understands. The high priest would also hear the desires and wishes of the people. Bring your desires and your wishes before the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. You may have some very personal things that you need to bring before God. And some private things, very peculiar to yourselves. Desires as to spiritual things. And not only that, but God is the one that needs to know about them. No one else but Him needs to know about them. You bring it straight to the Lord. We find that we're talking about the tenderness. Back in the Old Testament, let me see if I can find the reference that I'd like. In 2 Samuel chapter 26. 2 Samuel chapter 26. I want you to notice two things. Verse 26 and 36. No, it's 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22, verse 26 and 36. Beg your pardon. I have it correct now. It says in 2 Samuel 22, 26, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. Now look at verse 36. It says, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. And thy gentleness hath made me great. What makes a person great? God's gentleness that He gives you. The Bible tells us that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So what God gives you, it gives you the ability to do for someone else. Isn't that an amazing thing? In other words, everything does not stop with us individually. It goes on to someone else. You say, I've received God's grace and God's mercy and God's healing or God's blessing in this way. It's not just for you. It's for someone else beside you. You remember God told Abraham. He said, look in Genesis, if you will. Let me read it for you. In verse 2 and 3, chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And this says, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Why does God bless you in the first place? Just for you? Is He going to let it stop there with just you? He didn't say that to Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you, and thou shalt be a blessing. Then He says in verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And they were, because the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3 that He said concerning this promise of being a blessing, that it was through Christ and Him alone that blessing would come. Let me read this for you in Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now look, He saith not unto seeds as of many, not all the descendants of Abraham, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. How are all the families of the earth blessed today? Through some of the descendants of Abraham? Some of the family tree? No, not other than Christ. That in Him alone, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now then, we have to hurry on with this. It was as a high priest duty to instruct and reprove the people. To instruct is pleasant, but to reprove is a different story, isn't it? Sometimes it's very difficult. Jesus tells us our faults in a very loving way. He is gracious in correcting us. The Bible says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And the Bible says that if we endure chastening, that God deals with us as with sons. And so we find that that's a part of it, is to rebuke us. Just like we told you a little bit ago when we mentioned the woman of Samaria, He first revealed her need for that living water because He showed that she was her life that she was living was not very good. When Jesus said, go call your husband, He knew that she didn't have a husband. And He knew she had already had five husbands. And He says, truly, you say that you have no husband. And He says, you have had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. And then He gave her that living water. She said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. He knows all about me. Is not this the Christ? And not only does Jesus have a tender office, but He has a tender feeling. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I want you to notice that. It does not say touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but He says that He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There's a difference. What difference is it? You see an individual out here, and many have a feeling of one's need, and they'll say, I'm touched by that person's situation. But when you're touched with it, it makes you more aligned to it. When you think of the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus gave, the Levite went by on the other side, and another one went by on the other side of this man that had fallen among thieves. But there was one, and we call him the Good Samaritan. He stopped, and the Bible says he came where he was with the feeling of his need. With. The other ones saw, they thought, well, that poor fellow, they were touched by it. That fellow's, you know, he's there in need, but, you know, I'll go on my merry way. That's by. They passed by on the other side. But the Bible says of this certain one that had compassion, that he came where he was. That's the difference between by and with. And it says here that he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And so it's a little deeper feeling than just being touched by a person's need. And Jesus does understand our needs. Notice it says our infirmities, yours and mine. Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, not our strength, but with our infirmities. Not just sorrows, but infirmities, our weakness, our sickness. The reason for this is that Jesus has a tender nature. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. I am meek and lowly in heart. If we could but get into our minds and thoughts and hearts what Jesus really is to us, in the nature of that person, that He really does sympathize with us. There are some that men that will never be sympathetic or tender or kind, and others are overflowing with it. Jesus is very sensitive to the infirmities of men. Too many people are wrapped up in their own grief to be concerned about the griefs of others and to sympathize with others. Sure, we all have our own griefs, but does that mean we leave the other person out? Beware lest we be wrapped up not only in our griefs, but in our own glories and do not share that with others and glory in the things that they rejoice in. Jesus is not among us but as a servant, and that's the way he feels toward us. Jesus had the proper training and experience to be the perfected high priest through his sufferings. It says that he might be made perfect through sufferings. He was tried bodily. He said, "I thirst." He was tried mentally. He was forsaken by all. It says they all forsook him and fled. And he even cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Remember the garden and the spiritual distress that he was in when he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." The Bible tells us he was tempted, he was tried in all points as we are, yet he overcame, yet he was without sin. So we're to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And in closing, let's remember, if our Lord Jesus Christ was so loving and tender and sympathetic, what about us? What are we to be? In Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you."